Okay, this week's parasha. This week is parashas Shemini, but the maftir is Parah Adum, the Dal parashas. Yeah, we have Dal parashas. We first had Shkolim, then we have parashas Zohar, now we have parashas Parah, and then we'll be parashas Achodesh. Now parashas Parah, what's that sound? That's now. That's outside of the sound. Maybe we should close the door.
See if there are any other doors open.
Okay, so we have this week we learn Parashas Parah. Now, what is the shah? The shah is Parashas Parah. Is it a deraisa or is it a drabon? Is it a mitzvah? I mean, the whole thing. Where does it come from? What's the whole purpose of Parah in general? On a very simple level, the reason why we learn Parashas Parah Aduma is because it's coming Pesach, and in order Pesach, there's a requirement for every single member of Klal Yisrael to eat from the Karm Pesach, Kachim. And eat from Kachim, a person has to be in the state of Tahara. And to be in the state of Tahara takes 7 days. You have to have the water from the Parah Aduma spring upon you on day 3, day 7. You have to go to the mikvah before and after. It's a process. And being that the eating of the Karm Pesach is a critical mitzvah in Judaism, It's the bris. Our whole foundation. Klal Yisrael came into existence in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and therefore, the halach is that the person willingly does not eat, does not participate in the Korban Pesach, he is chayiv kores. There are 36 chayvei kresos. 34 of the 36 are lois aseis, and 2 are chayve asei, bris mila and para aduma. Therefore, as a way to, it's critical that we eat from the para aduma. Karban Pesach. It is critical that we participate in the Karban Pesach, and in order to eat from the Karban Pesach, there's a process of tahara. So it's just a practical announcement, a public service announcement. Rabbeisai, it's coming time soon for Pesach, and you're going to have to eat the Karban Pesach, and you have to be in the state of Tahara. You can't just flip a switch to become Tar. There are no shortcuts to become Tar. We live in a world where we live what it's called now in the microwave generation. I want it hot, and I want it now. That's the way we live our lives. We've been brainwashed. We have literally, the patience that the average person has, including myself, has gone down. It used to be 7 seconds to 1 3/4 of a second. Okay, we have literally no patience. I want it now, and I want it hot. And guess what? When it comes to Parah Aduma, there are no shortcuts. There is no possible way in order to be mitahar yourself overnight by pushing a button. It's a 7-day process. First go to the mikvah, you have to wait online, the kohen gadol has to pour upon the person, sprinkle upon him water that has been mixed with the ash of the Parah Aduma. He has to come back 3 days. That's on day 3. He has to come back on day 4. 4 days later, day 7, a second time, go to the mikvah again, and now he's ready to go. He's prepared. How many Parah Adumas were there done in history of the Jewish people? 9. We have on record 9 points in Jewish history was a Parah Aduma prepared.
When will be the stored?
What?
Where was it stored?
In the Beis HaMikdash. Ad Kedei Kach, it seems that when they made the Parah Aduma, each Parah Aduma, they would mingle in the new Parah Aduma, the ashes of the previous Parah Aduma.
So there was some place where they kept the freeze must dry, be, vacuum back.
Has to be. How much ash do you need? A teeny amount. When they prepare the potion to be sprinkled upon a person, you just need a teeny, teeny amount. One Parah can produce enough ash, theoretically, for world history. But yet, obviously, in different tikufos, it's not that the ash ran out. It represents a new tikufa, a new era. And even though you already have ash, you have a parah is a very large animal. It produces an enormous amount of ash. The amount of ash you need to mingle is a teeny, teeny mashahu. And you can theoretically, the paradigm that Moshe Rabbeinu made, the first paradigm, can be enough for world history. Obviously, it's
won't
more.
The water evaporate? I mean, it will eventually dry out.
No, not the water. You make brand new, fresh every time. Every time.
New water, use the old.
New water, you take a microscopic piece.
When they went into Golos, where did it stay?
So the Amoraim had. It seems that it's pretty clear that during the time of the Amoraim, which is not all that long ago, about 1,500 years ago, they still had Para Aduma. In Bavel. Even in Bavel, 1,500 years ago, they had ash, cited in many places, they had ash of the Para Aduma, and the Amorayim and holy people would be metire themselves. There's no Karbonis, obviously, once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, but to achieve a state of Tahara, to be worthy of Ruach HaKoy, whatever it is, to be Zeichet, the Siyata Dishmaya, in davening and learning, the Amorayim, we have on record, very reliable sources, there's a legend, or at least there are even records, they still had in their possession ash of the Para Aduma they took with them when they went into Golos.
There's no mention by Chanukah, they couldn't
find
Tohar oil, but yet they had the Para
Aduma. That was during the Bayis Sheni, they certainly had that. That was the Bayis Sheni.
But I'm saying they couldn't find the oil, they found this one thing, but yet
it took 7 days.
Somewhere put away
the oil. The oil, the one container of oil that was munach b'chos samash al kohen gadol. So Tosfos says they found it underneath the ground in the tile.
Where was the Para Aduma? They had to all be tire themselves.
Correct. It must be they had.
There's no mention of.
Okay, there's no mention of a lot of things.
But may have a wrong, but it was Thomas Aris Amin.
Oh, okay. So obviously there is Thomas Amin, but I don't know the answer. It's an obvious question. There's Thomas Aris Amin. Obviously, the different madregos. There are certain things that you can do. You can't do this. Tumas Am is only midrabon, by the way. It's not midrash.
They did what they could.
They did what they could. Tumas Am is only midrabon. It's not the tumadaras. And maybe they had certain areas of land where they dug down to the bedrock, and you know they cleaned out. The World Trade Center is built on bedrock. Okay, all the way down to bedrock. Clean. They can clean it. Massive area. Spots. There are no bones there. You don't have to be chayish below bedrock. You're going to say that Tumas Anu, there's no clump of earth.
Actually, it's landfill.
On what?
No, it wasn't.
When they built the World Trade Center. World Trade Center, I think, was built on bedrock. They went all the way down to bedrock. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It's a very good question. It's only Tumas Midrabanan. Maybe there's such a thing where they cleared a certain area of earth where there was no chash. That there was a dead body, there were any dead bodies, any bones. They did what they can do, but they definitely elevated themselves to a level of tahara through Para Aduma.
Menapeach, they were menapeach, like by
right, menapeach, exactly, to make sure there are no bones. Now, so if Chazal say that one para can really be enough ash to last forever, because you just need, when you prepare the Para Aduma, you go to the faucet, now, yeah, so you have to have Mayim Chaim. And you just take mamash a teeny, teeny mashu of ash from the Para Aduma, and you put it into the water, and you mix it, and you have a massive barrel of water. And how much of that water do you need to sprinkle upon a person? A mashu. You put on. You don't have to go. There's not toivel in it. You put on the person a teeny amount of water, and he's tar. You don't have to go be toivel in the mikvah. That's one of the famous drushim. There are two different types of tahara. There is going into the mikvah. Going to the mikvah, every single mashu of your body must be fully submerged in the waters of the mikvah. In contrast, the Para Aduma, you don't submerge your body. You sprinkle upon the person a teeny, teeny mashu of water, and that's enough. There are two different types of tahara. There's a tahara, a mashu, and there's a tahara where you're completely submerged. Yeah, so why then was it necessary? Why do we have on record that in Jewish history there were nine times when a Para Aduma was produced, new ash? It obviously represents a principle that there were nine eras in Jewish history where Klal Yisrael, so to speak, renewed themselves. They refreshed themselves. Yeah, it's taka true you have ash from the old, but you want new. You have a car. Okay, people don't do this anymore, but you know you have a car. The car's working fine. Everything is fine and good. New, you want to get something new. Something fresh. You have furniture, everything is working fine. You want there to be something fresh. There is such a principle of renewal in the world of Tahara, and that is why we have 9 Para Adumas that were fashioned over history. And when Mashiach will come, it will be the first order of business to make Para Aduma number 10. And obviously, a Para Aduma, it's very rare. Para Aduma has to be completely red. Asheloi ubad bo, loi olo oleha oil. A yoke that was never used, it was never worked with, is completely red. In many, many conditions, obviously, it's a very rare thing that there should be a Para Aduma. As far as I know now, I don't think anywhere in the world they have to say a Para Aduma. Every once in a while, you're in the news, oh, they discovered a Para Aduma. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. They discovered a Para Aduma. And the end is these paras anyway don't turn out to fan out. Let Mashiach come. Then we'll worry about the Para Aduma. Much bigger problems.
There are a lot of British cows in northern Israel.
Okay, they probably today by now they probably breed them, genetically engineer them to make sure they're ready to go. Supposedly have all the kelim ready to go. They have the clothing ready to go. Everything. The only thing we're missing is only one thing. Everything we have. Mashiach. It's all we're missing. All we need is Mashiach.
But he's missing his
children. All missing is Hayoim in Bekoiloi Tishmo. All of these simonim, you know, all these simonim of Chaim Kanievsky passed away, and this happened, and that happened. These simonim are nothing. Hayoim in Bekoiloi Tishmo. When you will see Klal Yisrael getting together, reenacting what it says in the Megillah, Lech Kinois Eskol HaYehudim, when you will see that happen, then you know Mashiach has come. The world, all the missiles been flying in the air. Klal Yisrael is going to do quite a bit. Holocaust, it's been quite a horror. Okay, go before the Holocaust, the pogroms, Tach V'Tat, Chmelnytsky massacres, pogroms, and the list goes on and on and on. Mashiach didn't come. So we're going to think now with Ukraine and Russia, oh, the sign Mashiach is coming? Oh, come on. Are we so naive that we're going to think Mashiach is coming because, yeah, okay, it's a nice thing. The only siman for Mashiach coming is Hayoim in Bekoiloi Tishmo. You see people coming to Davin, coming together, doing, changing their ways. That is the sign for Mashiach. But we have over here Paraduma. Paraduma is going to be the Paraduma. They made Paraduma in the fact they would mix, it's Chazal, they would mix the ash of the previous Para with the ash of the new Para as a hemshach, to go all the way back, like a chain, to take you all the way back, some type of symbolic concept, to connect this Para all the way back to the Para of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, is the reading of Para Aduma, this we explain, what do we do? We're doing this in order to prepare, in order, it's a public service announcement. Pesach is coming, it's time to get ready for eating the Karban Pesach, you need to be in the city of Tahara. There are no shortcuts in Tahara. It is a 7-day process. You better get moving now. If not now, im lo yachshav im osak. Public service announcement. Is this public service announcement a de'oraisa or is it a de'rabanan? When it comes to Parshat Zohar, we're all very familiar that in the Beis HaKnesses, the Gabbai or the Rav makes an announcement that the mitzvah of Zechiras, Nechiyas HaMolek, may very well be a mitzvah de'oraisa. Okay, some say yes, some say not, but generally it is accepted that it is. And we make a big deal, and Noshim come to the Beis HaKnesses, and we lane, is the same thing true when it comes to Para Aduma. So there are in fact some of the Rishayim that say yes, it is Doraisa. The Mogen Avrohom says he doesn't know what in the world they're talking about. There's not even a remes. There's no remiza anywhere of a cholat or a kula that the laning, the reading of Para Aduma is a de'oraisa. There is no such thing in his opinion. It is a public service announcement. There's no mitzvah de'oraisa to lane the reading of Para Aduma, and that would explain why we don't make such a big deal about it. We don't make a big announcement. We don't have a special reading in the afternoon. Women, we don't find women coming to shul special Para Aduma. They're going to come this week because of another reason. Parash Mevar, Shabbos Mevarchim. Noshim, for some reason, the Chaviv is coming to shul for Shabbos Mevarchim. The reason why they're going to be coming to Shul at Shabbos is because Shabbos Mevarch, not because it is Para, not because of Para Aduma. What?
Rosh Chodesh is their holiday.
Shabbos Mevarch. They come on Shabbos Mevarch, and more than will come on Rosh Chodesh. Next week will be 3 Sefer Torah. Now, on the other hand, now some in fact also find something very interesting. That the way this thing came about, that people came to have this belief that it may be a mitzvah deraisa, it may be a mitzvah deraisa to read Paradumo was because of a typist, a printer's error. It says in some of the ancient swarm, where does it say this exactly? I don't even know. I have to go find what it says. Here, maybe here it is. The Chosav Shemat, he's writing this, Sefer Zichron Yosef. This is from, he brings the Magen Avraham, who is this from? Maybe Dinar, I'm not sure who he's referring to over here. Let me read a little further. Who am I reading from over here? Maybe it's Ras Rashi, Vakulu. Uvitoisvis and his scurries all became Leolum Kosha Mehichon Remisa Shaparshas Poro Chayavim Lekroisa Midoy Raisa. Who is reading over here? Who is talking over here? I don't know who's talking over here. A Sefer called Sefer Zichron Yosef Tzvi. I don't know who this person is. It seems like it's a very old Sefer. Then he says something very fascinating. Vechosav Shomati Perush Tzach Venochon Ledovazel, where this error came about. Because Shomali Sheche Medumaloi, Shabrishoina Hagirsa Lohoisa Parsha Zohar Parshas Para, it says somewhere that Parshas Zohar and Parshas Poro, I don't know where it says, maybe it says something as a Chazal, I don't know what he's referring to, I didn't do my homework, but there is some early source that says that Parshas Poro, Parshas Zohar, and Parshas Poro are deraisa. It's a printer's error. In the earliest edition, it said Parshas Zohar, Pei Pei. What does Pei Pei stand for? Parshas Purim. Vayavo Amalek. There is only one reading that is deraisa. Zohar Eis Asher Oso L'cho Amalek Baderech B'tzeischem in Mitzrayim. And that has a partner. The partner is Vayavo Amalek. We learn Parashat Zohar from where it says there's two times in the Torah that are telling you about the mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. One is in Parashat Kiseitze and the other place is in Parashat Peshalach. We learn Kiseitze the Shabbos before as Maftir, and we learn Vayavo Amalek on Purim itself. So originally, the earliest source, where is the source? Maybe I can find it. Where does it say that it's the Raisa? There's a source somewhere. Zechiras Mechias Amalek. Absolutely. I mean, according to the vast majority of the Rishonim, it's the Raisa. Zichirah Zohar Eis Asher Asel Chamolek.
No, but
it's all Nichlal. It's all part of the same mitzvah. It's all part of Zohar Eis Asher Vayavo. Where does it say what Amalek did to us? Think about it. It makes a lot of sense. The pasuk to the Torah tells us in Parashas Kiseitzi, Zohar Eis Asher Asel Chamolek. Remember what they did to you. What do they do to us?
So why didn't we
go, them? We do lay it.
No, on Shabbos you should lay both of them.
Maybe so. Maybe you know what would really make sense is that when you're laying everything that we do today, I mean, you can't hanachal heavily show anything but anything. But what really what we're doing on Parsha Zohar is reminder to come to Shulchan Purim. Remember what Amalek did to you. Remember, don't forget. It's a public service announcement to come to Shul on Purim and lay the Ikar. Because the Iker is what they did to us. Vayavo Amalek, Vayilachim im Yisrael birifidim. So on Shabbos is the big day when you come to Shul. There's a public service announcement. This week is Purim, Rabbi Yisrael. Don't forget to come to Shul on Purim and listen to the Kriyas HaTorah, where we're going to remember, we're going to read what Amalek did to us. Vayavo Amalek. So the Zohar of Shabbos is only really a Hakdama to the Kriyas HaTorah of Purim Vayavo Amalek. That's the Iker. For some reason, we don't look at it like that. For some reason, we look at Parshas Kiseitze to be the Iker. Well, that's the Zechira. And in case Chas V'Shalom, you missed Davening, you missed Shabbos Zohar, so then the backup is come on Shabbos too, come during the week on Purim, and you'll hear them laying Vayavo Amalek. Oh, and that'll be the backup. L'chor is just the opposite. L'chara, the Iker Zechira is on Purim. That's when it really happened. And on Shabbos, before, we have a public service announcement. Don't forget, this week is Purim, and more important than laying the Megillah is to come to Shul and hear the Baal Kriya laying the Parsha of Vayavo Amalek. And in the earliest source, it says that Parsha Zohar, which refers to Kiseitze, U-Pei-Pei, Vav-Pei-Pei, like Buah. Brocha ve'hatzlocha, uah, omein v'yomein, u pap, vav pei pei, Oh, Parshas Purim is D'oraisa. The printers were not necessarily the biggest Talmid Chachamim. And they saw Pei-Pei, and they said, what's U Pei-Pei? What's Vav Pei-Pei? It must be U Parshas Para. The Parshas Para. Who told you that Parshas Para is a mitzvah D'oraisa? Where did you ever get that? Where does it say the word Zohar? Don't forget to go and have the paraduma water put upon you in order to bring the paraduma. What are you talking about? What does it say to read this? It was a printer's error. It was a printer's error in the earliest source of where this was cited, that it said D'oraisa, Parshas Purim, and then someone came along and said, Upepe, Parshas Purim. Someone said, Upepe, became Uparshas Para.
Who said this?
This, what?
Who said this?
This is said by this called, I don't know who this person, you can look up, name is Sefer Zichron Yosef Tzvi. He cites here what he heard. It's not him who's saying this. He's citing the Pi Harav, Marenu Harav Zev Phil Hanfeld. Pilfanfeld? I don't know how to pronounce this. I can't pronounce this. Pei Yud Yud Lamed Chof Ayin Nun Pei Yud Ayin Lamed Dalet. Zech Levrocha Av Bezin Dekila Kedoshna. Poisna, we're Meir Davins. We're Meir Davins. Posna. Posna and many Rabbanim. Okay, there are many Dayanim there in Posna. But go through the history of Posna. Posna, no, in Poland, right? Posna in Poland. It's a city in Poland, if I'm not mistaken. Posna. It was like Raisha. Raisha, 21 Rabbanim. Some of them were so famous, he was unbelievable. Shvasyaka, there was some of them very big. And then who's the first Rav? In the book, the Raisha, in Rezhanav, the first rabbi was a businessman. There was no one else to serve as rabbi, so one of the balabatim, he served as a part-time job. He was also the official rabbi. He was a businessman. He was the first, as the whole history of all the rabbanim. So Posna was another, ir ve'en b'Yisrael, there were many rabbanim. This person was the rabbi, the Av Bezdin, the Kila Kadesh of Posna, and he says that he heard that the mistake, this that people say, they announce that Parshas Parah is a deraisa, it's a tolus, it's no such thing. The Magen Avraham says he doesn't know what they're talking about. The Magen Avraham is very tough on this. He says there's no remiza anywhere b'chol HaTorah Kula that Parshas, the reading of Parshas Parah is a deraisa. It's a public service announcement because of Karban Pesach, and this Rav of Posna, the Av Bezdin, says it came from a tolus HaDefus, where it said Parshas Zohar Upepei, which the printer thought meant Parshas Para, but it really meant Parshas Purim. Now I'll give you another interesting printer's mistake, which is even more relevant. It says that where did Klal, when were we given the mitzvah? When were we given the mitzvah of Para Aduma? So Rashi says that Shom. Sham Sam Loichoik Umishpat Visham Nisol. It says regarding Mora, that in Mora there Hashem gave the Jewish people Sham there in Mora. Sam Loi Choik Umishpat. Hashem gave the Jewish people a chok and a mishpat, and there the Jewish people they tested Hashem, they challenged Hashem with the be'er, they didn't have what to drink, v'chulu v'chulu. So what is the chayk and the mishpat? So Rashi says that Hashem gave Klal Yisrael there mixas some mitzvahs. What mitzvahs did the Jewish people receive at Mar? Mar was way before Matan Torah. Not way before, but it was 47 days before Matan Torah. Something like 47, 46 days before Matan Torah. So then already Hashem gave the Jewish people a handful of mitzvahs. So what does Rashi say? Gave them Shabbos. Shabbos, which really we already had Shabbos. They were already observing Shabbos when they were slaves in Egypt. And it says he gave them Para Aduma and Kibud Avoim. Para Aduma and the Kibud Avoim. So the question is, Para Aduma, from all the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs, Klal Yisrael need Hashem would give them Para Aduma. Para Aduma is something which is the very esoteric. It's not what you would expect. When we read the Rashi, it says the Shom Sam Loi Chayku Mishpat B'Mara Nasan Lohem Nixas Parshios Shel Torah Sheis Askabohem Shabbos. Doesn't say Kibud Avoim. It's Rashi says Shabbos Para Aduma V'Dinin Laws Torts Laws Mishpat Dinin. these things they should already be busy with before Matan Torah. When they came to Matan Torah, then Hashem gave them all of the other mitzvahs. Okay, so at 46, 47 days before Matan Torah, the Jews were already busy with business. Okay, that makes sense. Jews are very busy in business. Okay, I teach them the laws of business, and I give them the laws of Shabbos. That makes a lot of sense. Parah Aduma. If nothing else to teach Klal Yisrael, but Parah Aduma. How you talking? I mean, what's going on over here? Okay, so you'll say very drush. Parah Aduma is a myth, esoteric. It's bilitam. It represents emunah, loyalty. You want to talk drush? We'll talk drush. You can say a lot of drush. You can say a lot of ideas. But let's talk pashup shot. Parah Aduma, you deal with people who were slaves for 86 years. They lived in Egypt for 210 years. They know from nothing. Here they are. Miracles are happening around them. Hashem takes them out of Egypt. They have not yet received the Torah. You gotta go easy. You start slow. Shabbos, I understand. They understand Shabbos, you know, because anyway they were observing Shabbos when they were in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu, it was his idea. They should have a day off. They observe Shabbos LaHashem. Okay, Dinim. Okay, they have a lot of money, right? They all have the Bizas and the Tzrayim. They became rich overnight. They became very wealthy. I can understand. Parah Aduma. What are you talking about? Parah Aduma is the most esoteric mitzvah. V'hi echkama v'hi rechoika mimeni. Parah Aduma is Shlomo HaMelech says, I don't even know what this is all about. My height. So someone has suggested there's a printer's error in Rashi. And when Rashi wrote his Kuntres, Rashi was originally called the Kuntres. Rashi distributed the Kuntres, like Parsha sheets. The first Parsha sheet in Jewish history was Rashi. Rashi himself, he wrote his Parsha sheets on just one Parsha. And he went to Shul, he put it on the table, he sat in the corner, he would observe people come to Shul, pick up the Parsha sheet, look at it, and Rashi listened to how they reacted. It was feedback in how they understood the Rashi, and based upon that, Rashi would revise, and he did this for years, it seems, until he collected all of his kuntresim, and he made it into, became the parish of Rashi that we have, Ladayas. Rashi, by the way, fasted, the legend is, he fasted 613 fasts before he actually wrote Rashi, whatever that means, on Monday, Thursday, 613 fast days before he composed his parish on Chumash. The Kuntres, so, you know, there were a lot of versions of Rashi. There could be things, it was a printer's error. It said, in Moro Hashem Yilim Shabbos, and Chof Aleph, Chof, two apostrophes, Aleph, Vidinim. Somehow the Chof, if you're not careful, can turn into a pay. What Rashi really said was, Moro Hashem gave them Shabbos, the mitzvah of kibud av vo'ein. L'man ya'arichun yomechu l'man yitavloch. Kibud av vo'ein and dinim. Somehow, the chof got a little damaged, and the printer decided to do the world a big favor by expanding the words. So from chof aleph, it turned into pei aleph, and from pei aleph, it turned into Parah Aduma, when really it was Kibud Av. And these type of things are very controversial. These type of, to say that everything in this world, the printer's mistake, this is not so poshut. Rabbi Reisen once gave a fascinating shiur on this in the Mitzvah Shabbos. I think he went through 10 examples, and there are a lot more. He went through 10 famous examples. I don't know if this was one of them. I do not know. I don't even know Parah Aduma. I told you, Parshas Parah was one of them. But here we have two examples of printer's errors, and holy people make this point, and they are convinced that this is a printer's error, and really it was Kibud Av. Parah Aduma was not given to the Jewish people at Mara. It was given to them later, much later, in Parashas Nosoi. And by the way, there's another whole bit, very big topic of discussion, and that is, when did Moshe Rabbeinu give the Torah to Klal Yisrael? We know that we have Aseres Adibros, and in the Aseres Adibros is rooted Kol HaTorah Kula. But did Moshe Rabbeinu, the day that he came down from Har Sinai, did he give them the Sefer HaMitzvahs, L'Harambam? Did Moshe Rabbeinu come down and give them the Sefer HaChinuch? Did he give them the Smag and the Smak and all the Mitzvahs, L'Har Nat? Moshe Rabbeinu gave them the Mitzvahs little by little over the next 40 years. Moshe came down from Sinai on that day. Bo Bayom, Hashem gave them the Aseres HaDibros. According to Chazal, Chazal said the Klal Yisrael did not even understand the Aseres HaDibros. The only Dibros they comprehended was the first two, Onoichi and Lo Yelucha. The other eight was like you go to a shir and you come home and your wife asks you, so what did the rabbi say? I have no clue. I didn't understand a word he said. Klal Yisrael, they went to Har Sinai, they came home. What did Hashem say? I have no idea. Not a clue. I was there, I heard the Dibros, I was terrified. The first two I heard, Anochi and Lo Yelucha. We told Moshe, we keep this up, we're not gonna survive. You be the intermediary. Moshe gave over the shear, and no one understood a single word he said. So it says in the Medrash, nothing has changed, Rabbi. Did not understand a single word, and the next 40 years, slowly he gave over exactly what the Aseres HaDibros were, plus a lot more, little by little by little, parashios ninu, until the end of the 40 years. He finished, he reviewed Mishneh Torah, and it was a done deal. It took 40 years to give over the Taryag mitzvahs. When, during that era, did Moshe give over to the Jewish people the Parah Adumah? Towards the very end. That was a little bit over their heads. To say that they already gave it to them at Mora, three things, Shabbos, Rosh Shabbos, Para Aduma, and Dinim, where's the Makar for that? Look in the Midrashim. You're not going to find the Makar, it seems. There's no Makar. It's the Makar that Hashem gave them Kibud Av. There is a Makar for that, but there's no Makar that Hashem gave them Para Aduma. So where did Rashi get this? A mysterious Medrash that we've never heard of? There's a tradition. Where does it come from? Maybe it's a printer's mistake. That it was really Beis Aleph, it was really Chaf Aleph, which turned into a Pei Aleph, and that spell they expanded it to Para Aduma. Okay, some people do not like this. There are some people that have a violent reaction when you say something like this, that it's a printer's error. The other one that I know there, and I know about David Cohen Shlita from Gvul Yavetz, he violently attacks another example of printer's error, and that is another famous one of on the Moadim. We say the Kadesh Yisrael the Hazmanim. On Rosh Hashanah we say the Kadesh Yisrael the Yoin Hazikoroin. On Yom Kippur we say the Kadesh Yisrael the Yom Kippurim. What do you say on Shabbos? The Kadesh Yisrael. What do you say on Shabbos? The Kadesh Hashabbos. The Kadesh Hashabbos. So what do you say on the Sholosh Regalim? Mekadesh Yisrael v'azmanim. Why zmanim? Why not say Mekadesh Yisrael v'chag ha-Pesach? Mekadesh Yisrael v'chag ha-Matzos? Mekadesh Yisrael, same thing. Mekadesh Yisrael v'chag ha-Shavuos? Mekadesh v'chag ha-Sukkos? Mekadesh v'chag ha-Shmini Atzeres? Why do you go on? Why are we sloppy? And when it comes to the Sholosh Regalim, we don't give it its due. We just say zmanim. So someone suggests that you really are supposed to say the Kadesh Yisrael, the Chag HaSukkos, the Chag HaPesach, the Chag HaShavuos. The printer did not have enough ink to go and to spell it out. So he put in parentheses the Kadesh Yisrael, and he put in parentheses Zmanim. You figure it out. Zmanim. You insert in this spot right what spot you're supposed to insert. And what happened? The next printer came along and says, why are these squiggly lines here? Why are there parentheses? This is what you're supposed to say. And he took out the parentheses and then became a minig Yisrael to say, Mekadesh Yisrael, and then you fix it up, Vehazmanim. Some claim that the word Zmanim was a placeholder and was an instruction for the people to insert in there Chag HaPesach, Chag HaShavuos, Chag HaSukkos, and somehow it became sacred, it became the Nusach HaTzilah. This is a suggestion that has been made of David Cohen Shlita, here on Coney Island Avenue, in Gvul Yavetz, a Goyin Sheba Goyinim, has a lot of Torah to prove that it's not a printer's mistake. He has beautiful Chidushim to prove that indeed the real Nusach is Mekadesh Yisrael Ve'Hazman. So don't be so swift to come and say that everything that we have is a printer's mistake. There's a lot of important stuff. But over here, at least we have Parshas Parah giving you at least two different possible printer's errors that are relevant to this week's Parsha. And that is this, that they're going to say, you'll go to a shul and be sloppy. Some shuls that are sloppy will say, Rabbi Sai, everyone should be quiet. We're now going to lay in Parshas Parah. Everyone should have kavana to realize that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. And everyone should have kavan with the brachas. The bracha lefaneha, a bracha leachareha. What did you just say? It's a d'oraisa. Who told you it's a d'oraisa? If you say it's d'oraisa, by the way, some hold that then you're over about toisef. You're being over on an iser d'oraisa. If something is only midrabanan, and you have kavana to be mekayim a mitzvah d'rabanan as if it's a d'oraisa, it borders on being over on the iser d'oraisa bal toisef. And if something is a d'oraisa, and you have kavana to be yoytze midrabanan, some hold that you're bordering on an iser d'oraisa of a bal tigra. And that's why many rabbanim, even Parsha Zohar, will not say that Zohar is a d'oraisa. Because it's not a d'oraisa, according to many opinions. It's not. It's not a d'oraisa. So the Mela, some rabbanim feel that the proper announcement is, we're now going to lay in Parsha Zohar. It is a mitzvah. Less is more. Mitzvah is tzricha is kavana, l'chatchila. You should have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. Whatever the mitzvah is. It's d'oraisa, d'oraisa, d'rabbanan. Less is more. You tell someone it's d'oraisa, oh, it's d'oraisa. And what about if it's d'rabbanan? You're over, bal toisef. Yeah, mamisha, but it borders upon that prohibition. And if it's a d'oraisa, you have kavana d'rabbanan, you're over, bal tigra. So what do you have to go make an announcement? Brachas, whoever told you the brachas that you say on the kriya is the bracha on the mitzvah. Where did you get that from? And there's a chassam sofer, that's the chassam sofer doesn't really say this. He says something similar. It became a new religion. And these things that the people are extrapolating, things that don't exist. And it comes to Parshas Parah, it's not a deraisa. I mean, most of the shows, so for someone to say it's a deraisa, the best thing is no announcement. No announcement. You want to make an announcement, you make an announcement. Rabbi Yisrael, when Mekayim, Takonas, when Mekayim, a mitzvah of laning Parshas Parah. And it's a good idea to have kavana. Have kavana to be in the Mekayim, the mitzvah of reading Parsha of Parah Aduma. Vezehu, that's all you need to say, if you even need to say that. Most shuls, they don't make an announcement Parsha Parah. They just lay Parshas Parah. Okay. So this is now, on the other hand, there is a very big topic of discussion that some want to say, okay, this is a minority opinion, but even though it's a minority opinion, it's jam-packed with very deep ideas of concepts and chidushim, that Parshas Parah really is a deraisa. But what is it's not the deraisa, it's not the tahara. The deraisa is another pasuk in the Torah that says Zohar. Zohar es asher hiktzaften Es Hashem Bamidbar. The laning of Parshas Parah is the Mekayim, a mitzvah d'oraisa, one of the sheish zechiros of the Egel. You angered Hashem. It's the same exact expression. Zohar Es Hashem Ktzavtem. The Torah says in Chumash Parshas Devarim, I think in Parshas Devarim. Remember, don't ever forget, mitzvah d'oraisa. You angered Hashem in the desert. How did we anger Hashem? The pasuk goes on. You made the egel. You made the egel. What is the first Rashi in Parash Paraduma? Why is Paraduma? Paraduma is a kapara for the cheto egel. You made an egel. An egel is a baby para. Let its mother come clean up after its mess. When the egel soils, when a child soils itself, who's the one that comes to clean up the mess? The mother. The mother makes the diaper. When the baby does not smell like Prince Charming, so then the mother comes to take the baby away and to clean the baby to make the diaper.
According to this, the Levim don't have to hear Parsha Adum.
Oh, so this explains why. Well, not necessarily. So the Levim are also guilty, it seems, because the Levim, there was tolerance. Everyone, it's pretty clear that every single person in Klal Yisrael is guilty. There was tolerance. There was compliance. Okay, compliance with there was a law. Everyone should give a donation. Everyone should give a donation, and we're going to make the egel. Everyone complied. Sometimes you don't have to, if it's a crime, you don't comply. Everyone was silent. It was a blatant rebellion against Hashem, and there was tolerance, even by the Levim. They also were tolerant. They also let it happen. They let it happen. After Moshe came down, and Moshe went berserk, shouted the luchas, and says, all you people are finished. And then Moshe's Mila Hashem Eli, the ones who woke up were the Levim. They woke up. And the Levim came forward, Mila Hashem Eli. But the Levim were not tzaddikim in the beginning of the story.
That's why they give the Levi over there, Parshas Kisisa. You give the Levi the one.
He was less guilty. From all the people, the Levim were just less guilty.
Hor was killed trying to stop
Hor was killed. There's a lot of excuses. Aaron was the one who made it. I mean, the whole thing is a horror no matter how you look at it. The Noshim didn't give the jewelry. They didn't give. So the Noshim, you'll say that they, it seems, according to what I'm reading over here, is they're the most innocent. They're even more innocent than Sheva Levi because Noshim don't have power. Noshim, in the society they lived in, Noshim were sidelined. So they couldn't really object, but what they did object, they refused to give up their jewelry for the Egel. And that explains why Noshim indeed don't come to shul for Parshas Par. There's no minute, because we have no mitzvah. The mitzvah of Parshas Zohar is primarily a mitzvah deraisa. Zohar eis asher tzavtem es Hashem elokecha b'midbar doesn't apply to us. We didn't participate in the Egel. We didn't give the jewelry. We don't have to come to shul to remember this. We didn't do anything wrong. It's the men that did something wrong. And it's true, the Levim, that you want to go in levels, Mil Hashem Eli. Mila Hashem Eli, the Levim are less culpable for what has happened. So this is a very important thing. And once you look at it like that, once you look at the Egel, once you look at Paraduma as a delicate, being that the Egel is in those, we're not gonna lay Parsha Zohar the Aveira. You don't want to give people the wrong idea. You don't want to emphasize chet. I'll give you an example. You know Dirshu? Someone told me this story about Dirshu. Dirshu, they give exams. They give exams. David Hofstadter. David Hofstadter is literally a billionaire. Okay, he has more money than most governments. He's a from Shomer Torah Mitzvah. He lives in Toronto. He lives really in Eretz Yisrael. And he's a multi-billionaire, and he has an organization called Dirshu. Started out as a network of koilelim all over the world. And then he made exams, dafyomi exams. Once a month, he took an exam. And then from that, he went to exams in Shulchan Aruch, and exams on this, exams on that, Mishneh Berurah exams. They just celebrated the second cycle of Mishneh Berurah. And we have celebrations all over the world. Sima Shas, he competes with the Aguda. Bechulu, he does this all single-handedly. He pays all the bills. It's an operation that's beyond belief. The amount of money he puts into this is just mind-boggling, how much money goes into this. And so someone I know asked, and they have a lot of, every single miktsoy of Torah. I used to take the Daf Yomi exams for Tekufos. It's the best Tekuf of my life. The exams are just out of this world, okay? And I always wonder, why doesn't he have exams also for Nach? Nach Nevim Ksuvim. He has exams on Daf Yomi, a track, Gemarash, another one, Gemarash Taisvis, the Shulchan Aruch they have now. They have Mishnayis, to be Mashlim, what you're missing in Mesachtis. They have Mishneh Berurah, Sifrei Musar, and they have other things, I don't even know what these things are. What about Nevim and Ksuvim? Why not go join the OU, Nach Yomi, Perek Day, have exams. So someone in Toronto, who was a very Talmud Chacham, went to him and said to him, Nach, how could you not have Nach? So he says 100%. Dude, but I'm a balabas, to his credit, he said this. I'm not an authority. I don't take upon myself to do anything. I'm just a balabas. Even though he's a very big Talmud Chacham, there's no question of Talmud Chacham. Ask the Gedolei Yisrael, if they sign, they say, in 1 second we'll do it. I'll give all the money, $1 million, 1, 2, 3 will be part of the curriculum. To give exams. And so this fellow was very excited about this. He went to the Torah Mitzvah convention that he went to. He went to all the Rashivas. And they also, absolutely, why not? There'll be a ribui in Torah Nach. He goes back to David Hofstadter and he says, got the five signatures. So he says, none of these are Hasidish, are Hasidim, Rebbes. You have to have at least one, I want at least one Hasidish Gadol, who's recognized as an Admar, a Hasidish Gadol, to sign to learn Nach. He went shopping. Not even one Gadol among the Hasidim was willing to put his name down on the paper. All the Litvish Rashivas were willing. See, the Yavza Dirshu became now more Hasidish. Dirshu started out more his Chevra became more Hasidish. That's how it evolved, for whatever the reasons are. I could explain to you another time why. But it evolved into more. It's both.
Hasidim ideologically will not teach.
Exactly, you got it. Exactly. All of the Litvisha, the Rashivas, they signed that hesitation.
You pick it up when you learn the Gemara.
They will know that's not the reason. That's not the reason. The reason is the same reason why.
The whole problem's in it. So you were like asking.
The reason is the same reason why, if this is correct, Zohar Eis Asher Tzavtem Es Hashem Elokecha Bamidbar. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa from the Sheish Zechiras to remember the Egel. So laying the Egel. If this is the reason why we're laying Parah Aduma, why are we laying tomorrow on Shabbos Parah Aduma? Get up tomorrow Shabbos and Yishalein, Parashas Kisisa, the Egel. Zohar Eis Asher Tzachten Es Hashem Elokecha. Get up and do it. You don't. The answer is, Chazal, you see from the way we do, you don't get up in shul and read publicly about the sins of the Jewish people and say they got together, they were dancing around the Egel. Eila Elokecha Yisrael Asher Tzeisa Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Everyone should come to shul Anoshim Noshim V'taf to listen to the Balkorei say, Eile Elokecha Yisrael Asher Chayitziyacha Me'eretz Yisrael. The Egel Hazav. What do you do? You have to remember it's a Gezeres HaKosov. Zohar Eis Asher Chayitziyacha Me'eretz. What do? You do it indirectly. Chazal told us that the Parah Aduma is a Kapara, is an atonement. You focus on the Kapara. That's how you do it. It's not a good thing. I think we can appreciate this. So here's the thing. We learn Nachal here in the morning. We spend a lot of time with Litvak over here. We don't have a problem with this. But you know, there's something to it. Someone explained to me. You learn Nach, especially Nevi'im Rishonim also. But what does it say in Nevi'im? You ever learn Nevi'im Rishonim? Avodah Zara. Ritzicha, Gilui Arayos, incest, Avodah Zara, Gilui Reishrich. It's unbelievable. You mamish, you highlight. A person that doesn't learn Nach with a proper Torah Shkafa can walk away saying, you know, today we're a lot better than our ancestors. We don't see people on the street walking around bound to idols. We don't see people murdering people on the street. You know the violence that goes, look what's going on in the time of Shmuel. They're killing each other right and left. There are civil wars. That's part of the Seder. Kiddusha the Sidra. We don't emphasize the Teichacha. It's Kiddusha the Sidra. Here, we're going to make a public announcement. Parashas Para. Everyone should come to Shul to listen to how the Jewish people were dancing around the Egel. You have to live, you can't ignore the Parashas Egel. When we lay the Seder, we have the Sidra. You come to Parashas Kisisa, so you lay the Egel. You come to the Teichacha, you lay the Teichacha. Adrabba, we lay the Teichacha, we accelerate the laying that we should lay the Teichacha before Rosh Hashanah to do away with it, to get rid of it. Get it out of here. Adrabba, we do things to get rid of it, not to emphasize it. Tichle Shana the Kilo Isaha, twice a year. Before Shavuos, get rid of it. And before Rosh Hashanah, get rid of it. Oh, we're going to have a special session for women. They should come here. No woman should hear or forget how we danced around the Egel. This is not the way you do things. It's not the way you do things. Now, when it comes to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, so Litvaks don't go to that extreme. They don't go to that. All the rashivas, they sign the papers. Gesunde hate, make exams, 100%. Adarabba v'adarabba. Chassidim, I'm not a, this is how they are. Appreciate who they are. They don't highlight. They don't want to go down that path. That's who they are. That's how it is. He'll say it's haskala because of the maskilim. I don't think so. I don't think that's the reason. I think they say that because they say that the maskilim would begin with logging in Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and the maskilim had the agenda of manish the eker das in Israel. So anyone that becomes too fluent in Nach, you're basically identifying with the maskilim. So it became a tekufa, eis la'asos la'Hashem, get rid of it, temporarily. Problem is, now the maskilim are dead, they're long gone, and we've never brought it back. Many people will tell you that. That's why we emphasize.
There's so much that can be misinterpreted.
Well, not today. But it used to be
a lot of misinterpretation about all the stories.
With the Hasidim today, are very big in tradition, much more so than the Ashkenazim. With Hasidim, what?
The Hasidim do yeshiva, they don't learn.
They manage don't touch it. And that's why David Hofstetter, so he told us, so he says, I'll do it in a second. And he actually told us, again, the guy got fired, and he says, I just need one, just at least one. Get me at least one of the Admir to sign. One. I don't need five. Yeah, five Litvish Rosh Hashanah is excellent. I just need one because he is very much, very intertwined with the Hasidic world, very much, to a very large degree. And he doesn't want to rock the boat with that. And if the Admirim don't want that it should be part of the curriculum, go Kazunday, you can go learn. Kazunday, go learn. He doesn't want to go and put it front and center. I understand. Again, you have to appreciate it. Each his own.
That's what part of the answer why they don't blame the Haftorah out loud.
Right.
Is that really the reason why?
Yes, it's part of the reason.
Oh, yeah,
it's, I think, okay, that's not so simple.
Correct.
I think there's another, because it's Shemei HaKoinah, because they traditionally did not have...
That's the Litvish show.
The Litvish show, the reason why they don't... There is a correlation between the mitzvah... between the mitzvah of Kibud Avraham and Parah Aduma. We know that from the sort of Dama ben Nesina. Dama ben Nesina had in his possession stones that they needed for the Avnei Shoyam, or the Choshen, I'm not sure, one of the stones, and the Jewish people were willing to offer him an enormous amount of money. He had a father that was deranged, and he didn't want to disturb his sleep, and he refused to wake up his father in order to get the key to get to the vault to get the stones. So he lost an enormous amount of money. The Jewish people, they went elsewhere, they got the stone, they from another source. Hashem rewarded him, Dam ben Nesina, from the midst of Kibud Avraham, and the following year he was born into his herd of Parah Aduma, which the Jewish people paid an enormous amount of money for. So Chazal jump on this statement, and you see a correlation between Parah Aduma and Kibud Avraham. Parah Aduma is the most extreme chok, and Kibud Avraham is the most extreme logical mitzvah. So Dam ben Nesina, he was nizar in Kibud Avraham, but Klal Yisrael was willing to pay an enormous amount of money for, you can spin it in many ways. We're not going to go over here how you want to spin the vart, but you see over here that he was observant of Kibud Avraham, and the reward was Parah Aduma. The two, obviously, they encompass Mikotzeh El HaKotzeh. You can spin however you want. Why am I telling this to you? The following other principle. At the time of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And the nations of the world were listening very carefully to the proceedings. They were listening. And they heard, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha. This is what it says in Chazal. So the Ummah Yisrael, they all sat, knew, what do you expect? What do you expect? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'chvoido Yehu Doresh. Hashem wants covered. So he says, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha. He says, Lo Yelecha, yeah, Lo Yelecha, he wants, it's all for Hashem. Then, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, yeah, for Hashem. Ah, then Shabbos, Shabbos, yeah, it's all for Hashem. Everything is about Hashem, Hashem. Yeah, of course. And then Hashem says, Kabed esavicha v'yasinecha. Did I skip one?
No.
Kabed esavicha v'yasinecha.
Yeah,
yeah,
don't skip
Shabbos.
That's
right,
it's
also Shem of
Shabbat.
What?
They've said
it.
That's the fifth one.
Yeah.
Kabed esavicha v'yasinecha. Oh. Kabbalah has nothing to do with Hashem. God is commanding man to give honor to a being other than himself. God is commanding man to fear their parents. Oh, oh. It must then be, as it says in Chazal, that when Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it wasn't for his honor. It was for our best. It was for the benefit of the Jewish people. Hashem doesn't need anything. But the Umas Olam, when they first heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they suspected, they accused Hashem of seeking honor. When Hashem came to Kabed Esavicha V'yasimecha, it was a Gilui Milsa, says in Chazal, that L'mafreya, that when Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it was not Hashem doesn't want honor. Hashem gave the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha for the Jewish people to appreciate it. So I want to suggest to you that it's exactly the same principle the other way around. Now that we know that Para Aduma and Kibud Av HaOmer are interrelated, when we observe, we're coming out to the end of the year, the last Shabbos of the year, the Shabbos. Parashas Para is always the last Shabbos of the year. When we observe all of the mitzvahs, why are we looking at it from the perspective of us? The Chazal of Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Kabbalah Zavicha is from the perspective of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Umay Sa'olam accusing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agenda, his plan. By us, from on the receiving end, it's just the opposite. A whole year has gone by. What have we done the whole year? We did Hashem's mitzvahs. Why do we do Hashem's mitzvahs? They happen to be very good, very, very smart mitzvahs. Kosher food is healthy. Shabbos, you get a day off from work. Leisigzol, it's good for society. People shouldn't steal. Who says the reason why we observe all of the mishpatim, all of the logical mitzvahs, is because we're really believers in God. We really care about Hashem. You know how we observe the mitzvahs? Good food. Chanukah, you have donuts. Pesach, you have matzah. Sukkot, you have, I don't know what you have, and Purim, you have a nice party. Okay, you have whatever. Who says the reason why we observe the mitzvahs is because we're really doing it l'shem shemayim? Maybe the reason why we're doing the mitzvahs is because it's fun. It's to our benefit. We now come to the very end of the year. Parshas Para is the end of the year. It's a very critical breakpoint. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh, next Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. Parah is always the last Shabbos. Is it the last Shabbos of the year or Chodesh is the Shabbos? No, no.
It's
usually. Chodesh is not. What? It's usually the Shabbos of four, right? Okay, so it's the second to last. This year it's really the last. But it's the wind down. I guess the Shabbos has to be Chodesh because that enters into the new year. But to a very large degree, really is the end of the year. Because a chodesh already is the ushering of the new year. We come to the end of the year, we come to the end of a tekuf of time, and we look back. Are we really religious? Are we really observing Hashem because we really care about the mitzvahs, or really doing it for selfish motives, ulterior motives? When we observe Para Aduma, which is purely a chayk, the quintessential chayk, it's only l'shem shemayim. This is a gilui milsa, that all of the mishpatim that we have observed are only l'shem, as well are only l'shem shemayim. If we can come to this point where we're making a statement, we are observant of things which are totally beyond our understanding, just like this is beyond our understanding, the MS is everything we've done until now in this year, every single mitzvah, the entire tekufa, it's only l'shem shemayim. Even the things that we derive benefit from, that we have hanah from, just like from Hashem's perspective, when the Umay Sa'olam heard Hashem say, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, lo yiyo lecha elohim acher, lo yisis Hashem Hashem lecha lashav, Shabbos, Hashem created the world, and then Hashem says, Kabbalah Zavich V'yasimecha, oh, You know the MS is when Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Melech Vaydoi. It wasn't because Hashem cares about his honor. It's because a person, it's for the benefit of man to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not because Hashem cares for his honor. It's for our benefit. It's the same exact principle the other way around when we're looking at it from our perspective when it comes to the quintessential Chayik. Why are we observing Parah Adumah? For our benefit? Doesn't make one bit of sense. It's the quintessential Chayik. It's for Hashem's benefit. The same way this is for Hashem's benefit? It's a gilui mil so that everything that we have done this entire year, it's a Yom Hadin Rosh Chodesh, was only the Shem Shemayim. It's a reminder that even the simple mitzvahs, even the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve Aim, even that was the Shem Shemayim. It's a limud zechus for Klal Yisrael to recite, to read Parah Aduma at the end of the year, to be melamed zechus on Klal Yisrael, that we are the Avdei Hashem, we do everything that we do in this world is only L'Shem Shemayim. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we will conclude here.
Amen.